So hi, everybody. This is Jenny. Welcome to Miami Week Podcast. I have Sophia Garcia with me from SG Media Agency. Thank you, Sophia, for being with us today.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is gonna be awesome. So we were just talking off camera all the questions I have for you because social media is
crazy.
Such a crazy world. You know, I feel like for someone like me who doesn't really, I'm not a social media person. I don't use it for personal reasons. I've never have. It's not something that I'm attracted to. But I feel like for everybody. So even if you are a social media user, it just changes so fast. It's 100%. Hard to keep up with. Yeah, so I'm glad you're here to answer the bajillion questions I have for you. So tell me a little bit about you.
So I am born and raised in Miami, Florida.
Yay.
Yes. As you know, I'm getting my master's at UM, my MBA. So I'm very excited to
Congratulations.
Thank you. Done and over with that soon this way. And yeah, I'm the founder of SG Media. It started over COVID as just, I really enjoy this. I want to learn everything I can about this. To now a full-grown business with clients and just continuing to expand now in May. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
That is, that is so exciting. Yeah. I love how one of the good things about COVID was how so many people got to pursue their dreams, you know.
Definitely, yeah. For me, it started off as just, I really like this. I want to learn everything I can about this. And starting to help out small businesses. So I started off with just a Fiverr account and charging like $5 to help people out with social media. And I started getting a lot of clients that way and just learning more, interacting with people and helping them build their online presence on social media in a time where everything was online. And that was the most rewarding part for me, to just really make people understand social media a little bit better and really transform their business and help them make that transition into social media when they hadn't before.
That must have been so exciting.
It was.
And rewarding all at the same time. What do you think is the biggest issue with that social media has created for people?
I feel like it's very different depending on the way you're looking at it. So for businesses, I would say that it's that ability to stay constant and to really stay engaging with your audience. There's so many different things happening at different moments that it could be a little bit challenging to really be cognizant of all the things affecting your customers, everything happening online at the same time. So I feel like for in that sense, it could be very overwhelming as a business owner. And then kind of on a personal side, Instagram, social media in general is all just a highlight reel. You know, so it's very easy to compare yourself to something that isn't even really technically real. And I see that a lot in my personal life, with my friends, even with young kids. And it's difficult to really make that distinction between real and not real on social media.
You bring up such a good point because we think this just affects like younger kids that don't really understand. But even us older folks, eventually, you know, you might go down that rabbit hole. Like, everyone's out today and I'm at home. Everyone's having fun today and I'm at home. And
definitely. It happens to me all the time. Like, we were talking on a little break before about how it's important to take breaks with social media. I'm on social media really like 24/7. And so there comes a point that I'm just like, even myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, like you find yourself comparing yourself to what you're seeing and you have to tell yourself, like, that's not real. You don't know that person. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. That's not real at all. You're good how you are. And really making that distinction is a huge factor now, especially as I'm growing and learning more about social media.
And I feel like we all know that person in real life, that their social media account is nothing like what their life is.
Yeah.
And 100%. I feel like that's always a good refresher that we just don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? And someone's account may be authentic, but it may not be.
Yeah, we even see it with celebrities, anyone. Yeah, people we know in real life, people we look up to. You never really know what's going on behind the scenes. And Instagram and social media in general just gives you that little fog, like the Wizard of Oz, like who's actually behind the curtain.
What do you think about people that really put it all out there. And mm-hmm. and I've seen the argument of for vulnerability's sake. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. where do you draw the line between privacy and being vulnerable as if that's like a badge of honor mm-hmm. almost? Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm a very private person in general.
Me too.
I like to make that clear on my social, especially with my business page. I like to share about myself, but if you're following me, you wouldn't really know anything going on personally. Right. I like to commend people that want to put themselves out there and be genuine and be vulnerable online. But when it comes to privacy, you really have to know how to draw that line, because there's crazy people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, all these apps do collect your data. All those things are saved. And Lord knows, maybe today you want to share everything, but then tomorrow comes and you don't want anything out there. It's very hard to scrub it. You can't take it back at all. Even on apps that they say, oh, like nothing's saved. Everything is saved. Every single thing is saved on the internet. Nothing dies on the internet. It's
right.
there forever. So it's difficult now, especially with new privacy laws, new things going on in that sphere too. It's hard to draw the line.
Do you think there should be some sort of like education system, for lack of a better word, to kind of like remind people how privacy can actually benefit them, maybe like in schools for kids?
I definitely think for kids, it's more important to really share with them and talk to them about privacy on the internet. I think as adults, it's kind of hard to do that because you can tell someone.
You're already set in your ways.
You're so set in your ways. And you can tell someone, you know, all of this is happening on the internet. And they'll be like, okay, well, I still want to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, you can only go so far with that. But I think for privacy especially, it's better to start younger with younger kids and just have those conversations of, hey, this is what's out there. This is what's going on. Here's how to protect yourself, you know, because people don't talk about how to protect yourself online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's so important. And we're going to dedicate a little bit of time to that later. So I want to put a pin on that one. You know, dive into how can people use social media to their advantage? I mean, I feel like we all know, but I want to get a professional's perspective.
Yeah. So at least with businesses, I feel like having a social media presence is very important nowadays. But it's a catch-22 because you want to have your social media presence, but if you can't properly manage and interact on that platform, it could actually be harmful to you.
Really?
Yes. So let's say you have a Twitter account and your business has a Twitter account and someone gives you a really bad review and tweets you something horrible. If you're not there to manage and mitigate what's going on online, that can just snowball into something horrible for your business.
Yeah.
So I would recommend more so finding a platform that your audience is on, sticking to that one platform and growing there, making sure that your team, you as a business owner, you can handle that one place before moving on to other things. Try not to be everywhere at once. Really try to dominate one space. I think that's the biggest piece of advice I could give.
So we see so many bad habits being fostered through social media, you know, like staying on your phone all the time, not being present, all those things. How can we create a positive relationship with social media?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I think at its core, the intention behind social media was to be a place to connect people. And I feel like that's still very present on social media. You're connecting, at least in my business and my Instagram account, I know social media managers from all across the U.S. And we have that personal connection of, hey, did you see this
that's
new thing
nice.
That came up? Yeah. So I feel like making it more so instead of just, oh, like, let me see the highlight reel of everyone's life, like, let me connect with this person. Let me see how we can help each other out. I think that's a beautiful part of social media and something that a lot of people might be a little bit afraid to take part in. Even in LinkedIn, I love LinkedIn as a social media because you can reach out to someone in your field, get a mentor, learn something new. And it's a really easy way to connect with people and people who want to help out. So love that. So just connect and have that intention of being, you know, wanting to form a relationship more so than just, oh, what can I get from this person or how's their life like? Let me snoop around, you know.
I think
making that authentic, intentional connection is really important.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah, I feel like if you approach it like you would approach any real life relationship, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just walk up to people and start, you know, asking them about, like, their life and yeah. stuff. So mm-hmm. why snoop around on their social media feeds?
Yeah, and I think that's really lost now, too. Like,
yeah.
even when I'm managing different DMs and different things, it's just people have lost that sort of personal touch. And they're like, oh, what's the answer to this? And you're like, oh, hi, how are ya? Hey, how are yeah. you doing? What's your name? I'm Sophie. Like, let's talk about right. it first. You know, like, people have lost that personal yeah. touch. And I think that needs to come back a little bit.
You know what I've noticed, too, recently? Like, we'll get messages that they'll start with, like, hey, how's your day?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. So then you answer. And
yeah.
then they'll say, like, you know, I want blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why don't you say it off the get-go?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know that you want something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
So it's a little creepy.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That's something, too, that I don't really recommend if you're a business owner or even one person selling something. I wouldn't recommend going straight to the DM and being like, hi, how are you? Here's my products and services. I don't think that's an effective way to sell mm-hmm. your product. People are going to get really frustrated with that and they yeah. won't even pay attention to you. They'll ignore you completely. You might get someone who would want to continue the conversation, but majority of people don't want to have to talk to a salesperson in their DMs. You know what I mean? So
right.
just building that up on your page first and then having people ask you questions and engage with them that way is way better than just cold calling on DMs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it feels like mm-hmm. back in the day when you would get yeah. those phone calls. Like,
hey, you want to buy some knives? You want to do this?
Yeah. Oh my God, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting how that mm-hmm. works. So can a business see success without social media usage?
Yes. Yes, 100% yes. Social media. I know. Yes. And kind of like hot take coming from a social media manager.
Yeah.
But yes, you can. Social media is growing and it's becoming a bigger part of businesses. 100%. It's a huge benefit to have social media as a business owner if you can do it the right way. But social media is supplemental. If you go viral on TikTok and you can't fulfill your orders or you don't have good logistics,
yes.
that doesn't mean anything at all. You have 100,000 followers on Instagram, but you're getting one client a week. What's the trade-off? So there's so many other things that are very important to a business for them to succeed that social media shouldn't be an afterthought, but it should be a supplemental factor of your business, not the driving force.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to quote you on that.
Go ahead.
That was perfect. That makes, yeah. Because there is a lot of pressure to see that number grow.
Yes, big time.
But, mm-hmm. you know, and we said this earlier, I feel like it should be an organic growth
yes.
and a growth that's more realistic in the
yeah.
sense of, like, you can actually engage with these people
mm-hmm.
and not just have these huge numbers, but
yeah.
that's all it is. It's a mm-hmm. number.
Of course, like, every business wants to grow. Seeing the numbers, it's great. And at least in my practice, I'm very data driven. So we're always looking at what's doing well, how's the page performing, all those things that are very important.
Yeah.
But if there's other factors of the business that aren't doing well, social media isn't going to make your whole business run smoothly forever.
Right.
You know, especially how social media changes every day. We were talking about that too. You know, you can have one day that your social media is doing great, whatever. And then the next day, if Instagram is down or Facebook crashes, what are you going to do then if you're getting all of your orders on Instagram
right.
or doing everything that way? So definitely other things that are very, very important to your business.
Right. sorry. How has social media become like the primary advertisement platform? Because we see that a lot.
Definitely. Definitely. I think there's multiple things that play into that. Definitely the algorithms and ads, those types of traditional marketing that has shifted a lot to social media. But also I see advertising shifting into being a network type of thing. So the influencers come into play there. And so you're not just being sold a product anymore in a TV commercial. You have this person that you love, that you trust, and that you're following, mm-hmm. and they're selling you a product. So they become the thought leader and your personal connection to that brand. So it's really shifted the way that we look at advertising and how we choose to buy something. I'm influenced every single day. TikTok, I see something on TikTok, a hack on TikTok, I'm like, oh, instantly on Amazon, yeah. buying it. So it really has shifted how we buy products and how we engage with brands in that way.
Yeah. Before, you would, let's say I needed a mug, I would just go to the store, grab mm-hmm. a mug that I liked, and that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I find myself researching, what's the best mug?
Oh, yeah.
And I want, like, and I'll spend 5 hours looking at yeah. who makes the mug, where it's made.
Yeah. yeah.
Is it going to, you know, last a long time? mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, my voice. And it's just, I wasted 5 hours over yeah. a mug.
And like, then you'll I get just wanted a mug. For the app, for the mugs, for like 3 weeks yeah. after that, of different types of mugs. That
happens right. to me all and the time. And now I'm like a mug a mini mug expert yeah. or whatever you yeah. want to call it. And it's like, is that really necessary? Is that mm-hmm. how I should be spending my time?
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
just have this need to know everything, you yeah. know? So yeah. it's like an 100%. Overload of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. There's always such an overload of information online. And right. it's actually really interesting. In all of my marketing classes that I've been taking at UM now, it's really cool to see how people's perceptions of advertising have changed and how you're filtering out all these ads. You see at least 2,000 ads a day on social really? Media and you filter them all out. People have gotten so good at just scrolling past it and not yeah. even
registering what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see that too. And I feel like marketing and advertising has to get a little bit more creative now.
I was going to ask. So mm-hmm. from a business standpoint, how do you catch that person's attention?
Mm-hmm. I think the best way that I've been seeing now is to add more value. Mm. So let's say you have a mug, right? Instead of just saying, hey, here's my mug, buy it, whatever. Be like, oh, here's a coffee that you can make in our mug. So adding extra value to get people really enticed and seeing the extra things that can do and how it can be infiltrated into their lives, into their everyday practices, that makes such a difference when you're selling something online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Because mm-hmm. now there's a different layer to it. Mm-hmm. More of an intrinsic, purposeful layer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it takes a whole different tone. That's really good advice. Mm-hmm. Have you seen detrimental results from... like to a business from a social media campaign?
Yeah, definitely. There's Ooh. Even case practices written about it. It's wow. having the wrong approach to social media or even doing the wrong campaign can be horrible for a business. We live in a cancel culture now, and it's huge on the internet. And so the one that really comes to mind was a few years ago, Kendall Jenner's ad with Pepsi. That was huge, and it was a whole, like, social media campaign. It came off the wrong way. That one was big.
I'm trying to remember. I think she said something, right?
That was... It was, like a war time, and she solved the war with, like, a Pepsi.
Yeah.
And people took that the wrong way, and it was a huge uproar on social media. Every day that happens, every day. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you see great, great impacts of social media. The one that comes to mind that I always bring up, and I know that there's going to be case studies on this one in the next few years, is Duolingo on TikTok. Hmm. Oh my gosh. If you haven't seen their account on TikTok, you have to go see it. They're just so funny, and they've really revitalized their app just because of TikTok.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know, so cool. I'm going to have to look it up because we love Duolingo.
Oh, they're so funny on TikTok.
They're so awesome.
They're hilarious. What they're doing.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm excited to watch them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can be very detrimental to your business if not properly done and not really being intentional and having that purposeful approach to social media.
How do you come back from that?
It's hard. It's hard to make a comeback from something like that. I believe the first thing that you should do if you have something detrimental happen to your business online is take accountability. You have to take accountability for what's going on. And once you do that, you have to really talk to your audience and engage with them to see tangible steps on how to make it better with them. People don't care if you say, oh, I'm sorry for that. They're going to see right through that. And it's really not going to make a difference. You want to be really genuine in your approach with that. take accountability and actually do steps to make that better and to really engage with them again and reassert yourself and get that trust from them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. And especially mm-hmm. adding the cancel culture element. How mm-hmm. does that come into play? Is there coming back from that one? Like once mm-hmm. it's really bad and people are just like, no, you're done.
Once it's really bad, it's hard to come back. It is hard yeah. to come back. But again, having that accountability and really making tangible steps to do better in the future, that's what people want to see. If you just ignore whatever happened, whatever catastrophe, people aren't going to like that. Yeah. They're not going to like that. And that's when the cancel culture really sticks. But if you really try to make a difference and to do better going forward, mm-hmm. your audience, your loyal customers, they're going to see that and they're going to always stick by you. So there's ways to combat
right.
cancel culture.
Have you had any experience like that with your clients?
Hopefully not. None of my clients. My clients are great. Thank God. Yeah. They're not like crazy people
out there going.
No, yeah, they're not crazy people. But you do get people every day that will have a problem or they'll just be upset about something.
Right.
And again, having that personal connection with them, say, hey, you're not talking to a robot. You're talking to a real person. How can we help you?
Right.
That makes such a difference for people.
Yeah.
Because if I put myself in someone else's shoes and like, okay, if that would happen to me, I would be super upset. Mm-hmm. What do I want now? I want someone who's going to tell me what they're going to do to make it better and how we're going to fix this and get back from right. this. So yeah, just yeah. having that personal.
I guess that's where strong customer service, mm-hmm. you know, background definitely. Comes into play.
Definitely. Yeah. And being a business owner, you have to have that customer service part transform and ingrained into your social media too.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on cancel culture overall?
It's tough. I feel like we live in such a finite world now that mm-hmm. people can't make a mistake and come back from it. You know, yeah. people can learn and they can grow. So I'm not a proponent of cancel culture. I think people do make mistakes and we're not giving people the grace to learn from those mistakes anymore. And I think we have to. We have to in order for us to move forward and together as a society.
That was beautifully said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's so important because this world, even though it's been around for a while, technically it's all so new.
So new.
And
so new.
We are, you know, there aren't really ethics set in place on how to navigate it.
None.
You know, so I think you put it perfectly. We need to have that grace to mm-hmm. be able to navigate yeah. it and mm-hmm. make mistakes and learn and get better. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't think cancel culture serves anybody.
At all. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, hopefully we'll start to see that kind of improve
mm-hmm.
as time goes on. Yeah. Let's talk data. So can cool. data points collected in social media be used to leverage or cancel a business?
It can be used to do both. Yeah. We've seen that even with politics, how data plays into different things. But data is a huge driving factor behind social media, especially. We have more access to information than we ever have as a society at large. And especially with social media, we can really see in real time what works and what doesn't work. Every time I post for my clients, I'm always checking. I'm like, okay, what went well here? What went wrong? How can mm-hmm. we fix that? Every month we do data reports and we're always saying, okay, this is what worked and this is what we need to do moving forward so that we can get right. that going. So data is hugely, hugely important to social media. If you're not looking at the data, it's kind of like throwing darts and just mm-hmm. like closing your eyes and
yeah, you know, just going for it. Stick it.
Yeah. But with data, you can really like pinpoint it and go up to the board and say, oh, this is what's working. You know, this right. isn't, this is what's not working. So super important to a business to be checking out their data.
Is it normal? Should it be suggested to look at like the likes and the shares and all those mm-hmm. things
definitely.
As part of the success?
Yes. I think if you're not growing in some way, mm-hmm. it's time to reframe your strategy and approach to social media. So one of the best things that you can do as a business owner is go into your Facebook business suite and check out your insights there. See what's working, where your audience is from, what they're really liking, And likes, comments, all those things do give you an indicator of what people want to see more of.
Right.
So it's important to be checking those things out. In the grand scheme of things, 100,000 likes isn't important for your business. But if one post gets 5 likes and the other one gets 150 likes,
yeah,
it's good to know what happened in this one rather than this one to move right. forward.
It's yeah. an indicator. Mm-hmm. Of right success, what people yeah. want to see more of yeah. what they're into. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any cases of like malicious use of social media to smear a business competitor?
Oh, for sure that happens every single day on social media.
That's so scary.
It's very scary.
I don't like that. Yeah. Stop it.
It's like a very scary world we live in yeah. on social media, because it's so easy to make a random account.
Yes.
And go in and just say whatever you want to say.
Write and no one's going to know
who's behind. Yeah. yeah. I see it on TikTok at least once a day of someone giving a bad review about a business, or they had a bad experience. And everyone in the comments is like, oh, I left a negative review on their Yelp. I did this. I did that. And it's like this whole army of people who may not even live in the same state as the business, just going in and going crazy on it. And mm-hmm. it's hard as a business owner.
It's like a witch hunt. Oh,
it is a witch hunt. Yeah. yeah.
And all it takes is one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's so it's crazy how that
one
works.
One person, one bad review, and people can just attack. Yeah. yeah. And that's why we bring in the grace, right? If you see something online that you don't agree with, maybe take a step back, or not even, you know, like think, okay, what's going on from this other person's perspective? What actually happened?
Right.
You know, but yeah, definitely. There's trolls. There's just crazy people on the internet that
yeah.
don't care. Yeah.
What's your advice for dealing with things like that?
I would say if you have a troll or someone that's just pestering your account all the time, just remove them. Block them. If it's one person, you know, they're doing that with a malicious intent, and they should not have the access to view your business, to view your page. I would just take them off and really just block them and report their page mm-hmm. for harassment, for bullying, and all those things, because that shouldn't be tolerated.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about other businesses, people, accounts that kind of mimic what another business is doing? How does that work?
So like kind of like copying the same
yeah.
things.
Yeah. yeah.
It's hard because it's a new legal landscape too.
Yeah, it's no man's land right now.
No man's land. Yeah, it's hard to control your intellectual property. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be cognizant of where it's going. So for those types of scenarios, I would say go in person. Take that conversation offline and tell them, hey, this is something that I did. It's an infringement on my intellectual property. I don't feel comfortable with you posting it, or can you give me credit for this idea, for this post, because I posted it first. Right. So having those conversations over email, over a phone call, even the DMs, it's so much better than just like getting upset and be like, oh, I don't know what to do. Reach yeah. out to the person, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, oh, sorry, I got a lot of inspiration from it. I really liked it. I'll add you now.
Yeah.
People are nice, you know, for yeah. the most part. They'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, or they'll take it down,
right.
and they'll be good. Yeah.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. There's hope in there.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can imagine, especially for a business where there's a lot of creativity involved, like mm-hmm. people that are, you know, doing something like art mm-hmm. or we've seen, like, the rise of small companies that make goods like T-shirts, mugs, yeah. things yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. And they're creating all these cool things, and then you see an array of people that
knocking
do the
ex-
yeah
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 yeah big time.
It's yeah, it can definitely be a problem.
Definitely.
So a little bit ago you brought up influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into that. So you touched upon why influencers have become important, and
mm-hmm.
it's understandable, right?
Yeah.
Because from a marketing perspective, instead of having this, you know, huge campaign to introduce the product, let's just do it through someone that's already trusted and has mm-hmm. built some sort of rapport with his or her audience.
Yeah.
But how is that also a problem?
Yeah. So influencers are, again, another world. That's a whole ecosystem in and of itself. It's a very new career now, growing every day. I feel every day I go on Instagram or someone else that wants to be an influencer. I think it's important as a consumer to look back, and even as a business, say, oh, like, this has its merits. You know, this person can really do a great job connecting with people, selling to people, editing, filming, doing all these things. It has its merits. But on the other side of things, if you're scrolling through Instagram, it's very important to not compare yourself to that person too. Like the same conversation we were having at the beginning of this, and just realizing this is this person's full-time job.
Yeah.
It is their job to look good on camera 24/7. Mm-hmm. It's their job to have this certain image that is meticulously created online. And it's important to not get caught up in that and to say, okay, that's an influencer. That's right. What I'm seeing is this whole image of someone that's been curated
for me. It's someone doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's your job to look good and to do all these things. Right. And even if you're buying things from them, it's important to say, oh, they're getting a commission out of this. Let me double check to see if this is actually going to work for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm saying that with everything you say. you have such a good way of translating all these concepts and making it understandable and digestible, which is obviously why you're so successful.
Thank you.
And it's going to be, it's going to keep growing.
Thank you.
So do you think society should move away from influencers?
Mm-hmm. I think the concept of influencers has to change. I don't think it can continue to grow as it is right now.
Yeah.
Right now you have a lot of different expectations for even pay. For influencers, for example, there's influencers that are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there's people who are not getting that same amount of payment. And so there needs to be a definition and a more clear concept of what it means to be an influencer. And it's going to be different depending on who you're talking to, but that field in and of itself isn't going to go away. So those people need to be protected as content creators, and they need to be respected in that way. On the other side of things, it's important, if you are an influencer, to handle yourself in a different way. So I wouldn't recommend for an influencer to DM a business that they have no stake in. They don't even follow. They just want something free and be like, I'm an influencer. I want this for free.
Yeah.
That's not going to fly anymore. Businesses, a lot of them are choosing not to go with influencers because they've had horrible experiences with that. And there's just a lot of... It's unclear. It's not a defined relationship for most of them. So if you're an influencer, get your contracts in, try to sign with a management team and be gracious in your attempts to work with businesses. And if you're a business, be mindful of who you're working with and make sure that if you're paying them a certain amount of money, you're getting that return on your investment. Right. If not, it's not worth it, especially for a small business that doesn't have unlimited funds and resources to pour into
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like influencers are now transitioning to just like a one-man show mm-hmm. of a marketing house.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And I see a lot more influencers now working with management teams, working with PR agencies. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be really helpful for that industry. And the other shift that I'm seeing that is actually being a little bit more effective than these mega influencers are the micro influencers that have maybe...
What is that?
It's like instead of having a million followers, you have around 10,000, 25,000 people, and they really trust you and you have that strong, engaged audience. You've
built that relationship.
That community up. Yeah.
Wow.
And they have a stronger hold on their audience than someone that has a million people and they're from all over the world and they don't really have a concentrated audience. So that's a huge shift
too. Yeah, that's interesting. Do you recommend for business owners to seek out influencers?
Yes and no. It depends on the purpose of having an influencer come in. And again, it depends on their rates, what you're willing to spend, what's your budget, and what's going to be the return on their investment. So before you even reach out to an influencer, look up their engagement, look up the type of posts that they're doing, and look up what you really want from that campaign that you want to do with them. Do you just want brand awareness? Yeah, definitely. Do you want loyal customers? Maybe not if they're posting 10 of the other of your competitors at the same time.
Oh, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. Because how do you say, like, okay, only talk about my business. You mm-hmm. can't do
you
that.
You can't. You can't. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Very, very interesting. So social media best practices, which is something that I love about what you do.
Thank you.
Your posts, the way you relate to your audience. It's all about ethics and, as you say, best practices in this world. How do we implement ethics in social media?
It's difficult. It's difficult because, as you just said, it's no man's land. You know, I think you have to have your guiding principles and make that translate over to what you're doing on social media. For me, at least, everything that I do in real life and online is all intentional. There's a reason behind it. It's really thought out. I'm never going to have a bad day and say, I'm just going to put everything on social media. I'm mad today. No, because tomorrow I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay tomorrow, you know?
Exactly.
So having that intention and that second thought of, okay, what's the purpose behind this? What am I trying to do here? Like, who's it going to affect? That's extremely important, whether you're a business or you're just a normal person using social media for fun. Having that is central to your ethics online. And it's important, too, to recognize that these huge corporations don't really have a policing system online. So if something negative is happening on Instagram, you're not really going to be able to talk to a person at Instagram and tell them, like, hey, this is happening to me.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So it's important to put yourself in situations that are safe for you, that you know are going to be beneficial for you, not only mentally, but also physically, avoiding situations like that. And also just having that mind frame of like, okay, I need to step away today, or I can't do this today.
Right.
I think it's very important to do that, even as a business owner.
Why do you think people go in their like worst moments, right? Like in their tough days, they go to social media for comfort.
I think it's an outlet for people. You know, you're not being judged by someone. You can really just get behind a screen and lay it all out there. Sometimes it's easier to just talk to someone you don't know than to talk to someone you do know. So
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like it would be my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like for someone to read my diary or something like that.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. But a lot of people feel the exact opposite. It's easier to just say like, I had a bad day, and have strangers just say, it's okay, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's easier to do that for some people than for others.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's so dangerous though.
Extremely dangerous.
Because you are sharing a part of yourself that a lot of people may not honor or value 100%. Or just things that people shouldn't be privy to.
100%. It's a very dangerous game to play on Instagram. And that goes back to our privacy conversation as well. If you don't know how to draw that line of privacy, you can be in dangerous situations. You can have people bullying you online, trolls. Yeah. They can find out where you work, where you live. It's very easy to find all those things out on social media. So it's important to have that boundary with others and with yourself.
Right. How do you propose someone start to create those boundaries? Like, what's like the easiest first step?
The easiest for me is always having, right before I post something, I look it over and I say, okay, what is the purpose of this? Everything, even if it's a comment, even if it's a video, I say, what's the purpose of this? Is it going to be affecting anyone negatively? What's my intention behind it? If all those things check off, good to go.
Yeah.
If not, it stays in the drafts.
Erased.
It gets deleted. It's gone.
Yeah.
But just tapping into yourself is the most important thing that you can do, and just pausing and taking a moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we all now have this need to make sure our opinion is heard. You know, everyone has to make sure they comment on something, that their opinion is there.
Yeah.
And sometimes that backfires, you know. You don't need to. Sometimes it's okay to not have an opinion.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's been so many issues that everyone's like, this is it and this is right. And if you don't believe this, you're wrong. And for me, that's all social media right now. There's that line. You're right and you're wrong.
Right. It's very divisive.
It's very divisive. And for me, at least, I don't take a stand until I know everything about it. I'm not going to say how I feel online until I've read everything that's out there. Right. I have the full story, not one side of the story, the full story. And then I can form my opinion and decide if I even want to share it with others. Because it's true. People are very, you're right, you're wrong.
Yeah. And if you're wrong, you're evil and you're yeah. you know, you're God crawls under a rock because yeah. you don't deserve to be part yeah. of this world.
Mm-hmm. And that can affect your business too.
Yeah.
100%. My favorite people online are the people who speak their truth, who have their opinions, and everyone can comfort them and they can be strong and firm in their beliefs. Those people, I love them because yeah. it's, you know, you also have the other side of things, that people that have really bad opinions. But the people that are business owners and they're standing up for something that's right, and they say, I don't care if you cancel me. This is right. what's right. This is what my business is doing. They have
convictions.
They have convictions.
Yeah.
They can stand the test of time. They can stand social media. Yeah.
So do you advise business owners to have, because we see some people step away from that neutrality zone mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. do have opinions. Do you advise businesses to make their opinions known like that?
Interesting. That's a tough question.
Yeah,
that's a really hard is. Question. And I think it changes every day, and it changes on your business and what you're fighting for. Right. If it's an issue that is extremely important to you as a person and it drives your business and it's driving social landscapes, share it. If someone doesn't agree with it, you stand firm in what you believe. And that's that. If they don't want to shop from you, they were never going to shop from you. You know?
Yeah.
I think if you have really strong convictions, that shows in your business, regardless if you're saying it. So it's, if it's that important to you, share it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That, I feel like that's like walking on a tightrope, you know?
Yeah.
You want to be who you are and mm-hmm. have these beliefs and be a real multidimensional person. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, should your business be a neutral landscape for your yeah. customers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. I think your answer is it's perfect because it does change and you do need to understand
mm-hmm.
What situations
mm-hmm.
may be, one yeah. may be better than the other.
And also what situations might be affecting your customers too.
Yeah.
If there's something that's really affecting your customers, you have to have the train of thought and the connection with them to talk to them about it and bring those issues up. Online, right. because they're going to be looking to you to see what you're saying.
That's a good point.
And if you don't take a stand at all, they're going to take notice.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're, you don't, I don't want to say support, maybe agree might be a better word,
mm-hmm.
or just fully understand the issue. Mm-hmm. How do you advise for them in that situation to get involved?
If you're not really sure of what the issue may be, or you're not
educated right, or on you're it. Right, or mm-hmm. you just don't really maybe agree
okay.
with mm-hmm. whatever is happening.
I think if it's something that's big enough for your community and for your audience, I think having a safe space where you can have that interact with one another is going to be important for your audience.
Right.
If let's say you're a business, right, and I take something personal that happened to me, everything that was happening in Cuba.
Mm.
And let's say you're an American business, but you're in Miami and you don't really have ties to Cuba as a business owner. It's still important to hear what your community is saying and to reach out to them and give them a platform that they can feel safe at your business and know that, you know, they have your support, whatever it may be,
right.
you know, and right. not polarize people. So being that safe space for them
yeah.
is important.
That's a smart way to navigate it,
mm-hmm.
for yeah. sure.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, you know, 100%. I'm doing all these things, blah, 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 blah. If you don't feel yeah. comfortable with that or you don't have the resources for that. But you can always be a safe space for people. Always. Yeah.
Would you advise business owners to become – to wait, no, scratch that. We'll edit that out. Hold on. I feel like I do this every darn episode. Damn it. Okay, I know what I was going to say. Would you advise customers or not even, no. See, scratch number two. Should business owners allow customers to dictate like the things that they care about or stand for?
That's a really interesting point. And yeah. a lot of people have very different opinions on this.
Because we see a lot of pressure yes. from a customer There's standpoint a lot of for social a business pressure. To... take a stand, to mm-hmm. say something, to, and it almost feels like there isn't really an option. It's mm-hmm. either you do it
or you don't,
or we're walking
yep.
away.
Yep. And there's so many choices now that they can walk away too.
Yes.
I actually, there's a really cool statistic that came out, I believe, last year, and it was 64%, I'm pretty sure, of millennials and Gen Z are paying attention and have their purchasing behavior affected if a company is deciding to take action on a social or an environmental issue. So consumers now are changing too, because there's so much information out there, to see if they're actually going to spend their money with you based on what you're doing outside of your traditional business practices of whatever you're selling. So I do think, again, it's important to stand firm in your convictions, but it's tough to look at what your consumers want and see if you guys even align.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough. And there is that social pressure nowadays that everyone sees what you're doing, have access to everything. And it's not just what you're doing in your business and the brick and mortar, but also what your views on this, what's your view on that. It's very difficult.
It is. I think for everybody, you know, not just the business owner, but the customer as well.
Definitely.
Because I think there is a beauty in now all the choices that we have as consumers.
Yeah.
The like you said, the choices are endless. And I think that's awesome. That's great. It's freedom in its truest form. But I don't know exactly how I feel in going back to the mug in the company where I purchased my mugs from, and knowing their, for example, political opinions, I don't really care. I just want a nice mug.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're alone in that at all. I think it's easy to be pushed a lot of things of everyone's very like, oh, I need this product from you, and I also need you to be aligned with this. I think that's pushed out a lot, but I think a lot of people on the other side are just like, hey, I need a good mug. That's all I need. You know?
I mean, you're not a political expert. Which doesn't mean you shouldn't have an opinion. Everyone needs to have an opinion.
100.
But I don't think it needs to be aligned with your business. In this case, you know, I'm not coming to you for political information and teachings. I'm coming to you for a mug. So, I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, it makes sense because I totally see how, you know, you don't want the extra stuff. You just want your product. I can also see, though, how your community, what's going on with them impacts your business.
Right.
Yeah. Whether you support it, you don't support it, it will affect you in one way or another. So, again, you don't have to take a side. You can be a safe space. You can say, we're learning more about this subject. We stand with you in your pain, or we stand with you in support of this, you know, like, you don't have to share, like, I support this, you know, even if that's what you choose to do, for sure, go for it. But if you don't know enough about the subject, if you don't want to be a thought leader in that subject, you can always say, I foster this safe space for you.
Yeah.
This is some place that you, as our customer, we value you, we care about you. And if this is something you're going through, we stand with you, you know, and you can have different thoughts on it, but you can also respect where they're coming from too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that's key in everything. In everything, you know? But yeah, sometimes I wonder how detrimental it really is for the business and the consumer to throw that mix of valuing who you are as a business and what you provide along with your personal ideals.
It's very hard. And I don't think there's ever going to be an answer to that question because it changes. It changes based on who you're talking to. It changes based on the subject that you're talking to. People are taking things very, very personal nowadays.
That's true.
And, you know, that's okay. But it's difficult. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer of what a business should do when it comes to that. I think it's really trial and learn, you know, and say, hey, I'm new to this. Right. It's okay to say I'm
We all
this,
are.
No, yeah.
Yeah, even as consumers, we're all new at having all these options and trying to figure out which company we want to support and which one is really going to give us what we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all very new and very exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's as much as we're focusing on the issues that are coming up in our conversation, I think it's so exciting
I think
to
so
see
too.
These companies flourish and for us as consumers to have so many options.
Yeah, and the options of like going to good businesses that are, may not be massive, you know, corporations and mom and pops. I think
that's they my have favorite an opportunity thing.
For that.
Of, you know, discovering these businesses, like you said, of, you know, someone who quit their job and is following their dreams or had this hidden talent and all of a sudden they can make handmade mugs.
Definitely.
I think that's just, that wouldn't have happened a couple of, you know, 50 years ago.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I think that's what really drew me in, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. I worked with a lot of smaller companies. And they were like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Like, I can help guide you through this. And it's really nice seeing how your business can be transformed and you can reach a whole different set of people just with an Instagram page or just with a TikTok page and a website.
So going back to your business, how do you choose your clients? Like, it's
I'm Latina, so I'm very, like, my clients are very close to me. I talk to Ro all the time. I love talking to her.
Shout out to her. Shout out to Rochelle. We were, talking about our mutual love for her earlier.
She's awesome. Hey, girl. But I think it's important to be really aligned with your clients on what their goals are and what realistically you can do for them. If there's a client, a potential client that comes up to me and says, hey, I want 10,000 followers in a month. That's not a good fit for us, because organically, realistically, that's not going to happen. What I do is I drive your brand awareness. I create your online presence and I foster that community. If you just want a quick fix, that's just not me. So I have to make sure that our connection is intentional, is purposeful and aligned. And once that's happening, you know, then we can start getting into, okay, let's do all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know, let's brand. Let's do all these great things. Let's create stories. Let's create, you know, reels, videos, what have you. But yeah, making sure that we're aligned and it's very intentional. The whole process is important.
What has been the most rewarding experience that you've had with a client?
Oh, that's so hard. I mean, every day is it's something new that I'm proud of.
I can tell you love it. Your eyes light up when you talk about it.
I
really
love it. I love my clients. That's so awesome. It's one of my biggest blessings. And I don't know, every day brings something new with them, even if it's just a little breakthrough of, oh, I filmed something today. I feel confident doing this today. That makes me so happy. Even the things outside of normal client work, like talking to the fifth graders about, you know, internet safety, those opportunities that come through SG Media, that's like extremely important to me. And none of my successes for me personally are measured in metrics. You know, we've had great breakthrough on metrics and actual tangible data. But for me, having that connection with my clients and seeing them love being on social media again and not stressed out.
Yes.
That's so rewarding.
Yeah, I'm sure they feel safe and supported and all the
goal.
It shows.
Thank you.
Definitely shows.
Thank you.
So are there like different ways that you you tailor to each client? Like if someone's very social media savvy and you don't have to hold their hand so much, what about someone like me that's like, oh my goodness, I don't know anything.
Everything for me is customizable. There's no one size fits all, especially when it comes to social media. Every business is different. You can have the same exact business selling the same thing, but their approach can be completely different in what they do. So approaching a new client that would be, you know, not so social media savvy, we start with the basics and we start with what they want to do. For me, it's always that collaborative experience that I like to tailor for them. Like, do they want to even learn more, or do they want to just hand it off to someone else and not be a worry?
That's a good,
a lot of people just don't even want to deal with it.
That would be me.
Yeah.
I would be like, here.
And then
help me.
Here we go. I'll take it. And, you know, you'll get a full calendar of everything that's going on. And you just say, oh, I like this. I like this. That's it. You know, but I also have other clients that are like, I want to be on there too. Like, I want to make videos. And we do that too.
Yeah.
So it's different for everyone. Right. It's very different for every single client.
Do you advise people to post every day? Like, is there a...
I do. Yeah. For all my clients, we do every day a post. One, you collect more data like that. You really do.
That's true.
You know what your audience wants to see more of.
Yeah.
And you have more chances for success, in my opinion. And also, the algorithms of the apps are very cognizant of those things. Like for Instagram, you want to be posting very consistently. I believe it's about 4 or 5 posts, like actual feed posts a week. Could be wrong on that.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But they even recommend doing a post a day. And even being creative with it. Like if you can't post a day, go on your stories and say, hey, everyone, just checking in, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. But yes.
Like, for example, you know you follow someone mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you haven't heard from them in mm-hmm. a week, in 2 weeks, and then they all of a sudden pop up and they've been posting, mm-hmm. but it's not coming up on your end. What's that all about?
Interesting. There's actually like ebbs and flows on social media. So it could be that their content didn't align at the moment of what you were looking at. So how the feed works is that, yeah, so everything that you're engaging with, that's what Instagram is pushing out to you. So like if you're doing, for example, gardening all the time and you're like, oh, I love gardening. And then one day you're like, oh, I have a party coming up. I need food options. You start clicking on food things. The gardening things may be pushed a little bit to the side because it's seeing that you want more food related content.
Right.
So then that's how that kind of works in that sense. Also, it could be a number of factors, like at what time they're posting, what time you're posting and active. It's all
in the back end. Is there a good time of the day to post?
It depends. It depends on your account. So if you go inside of your insights in your business account, you can see when your audience is most active. I usually do 30 minutes before that peak time, just to give it a chance to start circulating. But I'm actually finding nowadays that even if there's one time that's most active for your followers, reels and videos in general, from what I've seen, perform best in the morning, super early in the morning.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm.
And it's really random. And some days it'll be good. And then some days it won't. So it's always, you have to be mixing it up basically just to see
what's the formula is always changing.
Always. It changes every day. There's always something new. Hmm. Different updates that they're doing on their end on the app side can affect how your posts are performing. It all plays into each other.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not like a woman in STEM. Shout out to the woman in STEM. But yeah, it's very STEM and technically related to how the app performs.
That's probably why I'm like, oh God, no.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. What advice do you have for people like yourself that feel they have a good grasp of social media and social media marketing and they want to kind of dive into that and help other people?
Definitely just start. There's so many resources online for you that you can look into, like LinkedIn Learning, different courses online that can really help you build that platform. Even different certifications, like Facebook has certifications that help you see how to actually engage and how to build communities online. Those are really helpful. And yeah, just starting off and telling someone, hey, I'm new to this, but I'd love to help you. I know a few things. Let's see if we can do something together, even if it's for free, just to get your feet wet, you know? So let's start off that way.
That's good advice. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So a little bit ago, you brought up fifth graders and how you went to give them a little bit of education and what you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was so important. And I think if I had it my way, it would be built into the curriculum and you would be visiting every single school and talking to all the kids. Because us as parents, this is all new. You know? Yeah. And I feel like we're raising the first generation that's really growing up with this, you know, because I didn't have to grow up with that.
Yeah, me neither.
It was sort of like safe, right?
Yeah.
It was, you just had the TV or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was that. Maybe like AOL chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the extent of it. But now they're growing up, you know, with a camera in their face and, you know, parents or friends saying, oh, you know, let's post it on Instagram or whatever have you.
Yeah.
So I think we really need to take a look at how it's affecting them. And it's obviously not going away.
No.
So how do we turn it into something positive? You know, so I have so many questions on that. So I guess to start, what advice do you have for parents that are, you know, having little ones and starting to dive into all this?
It's tough. I am an aunt, so I'm not a parent, but I am an auntie to three girls.
Girl power.
So I think as a parent, it's very important to be having those conversations with them in a way that makes them feel safe to come talk to you. It's not something that should be, you know, be careful on your phone, you know, they're going to come get you and they're not going to listen to you.
That
you
sounds like me. No, I'm kidding. I don't say things like that, but I have thought about it.
But it's true. They will come get you. Not to scare anyone, but.
No, it happens. I can attest that it happens. Mm-hmm. I've seen some things.
Yeah.
As a teacher, yeah. I've seen some things.
I've seen some things on my end.
I'm sure you have.
It's scary. Like, it's really scary. Yeah. I think that fear of what I had been seeing on social media, it kind of evolved into this, I want to do something productive with this, because there are real dangers online, not just, you know, stranger danger. There's also danger between your kids, you know, cyberbullying, different things like that. So the most important thing that you can do as a parent is talk to them and make it a conversation that's like, I trust you. You have to trust me to know what's best for you. Now Instagram is actually adding Family Center, and it's like a control center.
What does that mean?
So it's basically a part of the app that if your teenager or your child is on Instagram in whatever way, you can go in as a parent and you have some sort of like filters and control over what they're doing, and you have access to their account. So I think great step in the right direction. But kids are going to be kids and they're going to find a way. You know, we were all there.
Yeah.
Like, we find a way to do things. Right. And I think, at least for me and my experiences with my parents, they were always very open and honest with me about things that were going on. They didn't, you know, BS me or anything. And it makes a difference. Kids listen to you. Even if you think they're not, they listen to you. So,
and they're watching.
They're watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think kids should be on social media?
I don't. No. I don't. I think kids should be outside. I think they should be playing with each other. I'm that type of person that if I go on a plane and I see a kid, it's like, oh, but I rather have a kid that's like playing or freaking out even.
Yeah, than being
on
a kid.
Their iPad or like on their phone all the time. And there's no shame in that. You know, parents need a break too, 100%.
Yeah.
But I don't think kids should really be on social media in any capacity. There's really dangerous people in the world. There's evil people in the world. And I've just seen too many things to let kids be on Instagram. That's just my...
What do you think it's the right age, if there even is a right age?
I think they're going to do it either way. You know, all their friends have social media. I would try to hold off until high school. Yeah. I really would, at least. And if you have younger kids, you know, I know it's fun to post them on social media, but maybe try not to.
That was going to be my next question. So a lot of the kids are not on social media, but their parents put them on social media.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you should refrain from doing that. Just because you don't know who's following you. At the end of the day, you can have a list of people that you know personally following you, and that's it, and you're on private. But what if one of their accounts gets hacked? What if their account changes? You don't know who has access to that account. People can screenshot things. There's just, you know, a lot of weirdos out there. And at the end of the day, you know, they have to consent too to being on your Instagram page. I know it's like a rough topic for people because they're like, oh, they're my kid, I'm going to post them. But, you know, they have that choice too if they want to even be on Instagram or on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for me, those boundaries with privacy and with really holding something sacred unto yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that comes into play. And for me, it makes a decision so easy. My kids are not on social media at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I don't shame people that, you know, this is my personal decision.
Yeah.
Just because of the way I'm built, I guess. But I can see why some parents might want to take a look at how they're portraying their children on social media.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if you choose to put your kids on social media and have them out there and share those special moments with people that you care about on social media, that's great. Like, definitely do that. But also have in your mind, okay, there's also a risk associated with this. Like,
yeah.
Who's actually seeing my child? And for me personally, I don't want to take that risk mm-hmm. when that time comes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I happen to agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing as kids being able to have a healthy relationship with social media? Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think it all comes down to the relationships that they're forming online as well. There was a research study that came out, I believe, by Edelman, and they said that kids don't have issues with the actual apps. Like, the actual apps themselves don't create, you know, FOMO or bad body issues. It's actually with the relationships that they're forming online. So it kind of makes sense. Yeah. So yeah. If you're a girl and you're 12 years old and you're seeing only models on your page, it's that relationship with that influencer, that model, that person that's going to really start to affect you. I do think you can have positive influences on social media. You can have good relationships with your friends, with your family, and I think it can be productive. But it all goes back to those conversations that you're having at home, making sure that they know, hey, be careful with who you're talking to online. Let me see who you're talking to online. None of that is real. People edit. People can Photoshop, you know, like having those conversations.
Do you think parents should heavily monitor their kids' social media accounts?
I think it depends on how old they are. If they're in high school and, you know, you want to have that trust built with them, trust works both ways. So you have to trust them to make the right choices. And then at the same time, if you feel like there's something going on that shouldn't be, definitely go in there and check it out. You know, I'd rather have my kid be so mad at me than something happen to them. God forbid.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the best way to introduce, like, let's say your kid is finally at that age mm-hmm. that you can't walk away from it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's unrealistic to say, well, I'm going to ignore all this social media allure that it has mm-hmm. because my kid's never going to be on it. Yeah. I think that's unrealistic. Yeah. There's going to mm-hmm. come a time where you're going to have to face this monster.
Yeah.
So I think ignoring it is not really the best way.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's so important what you're doing in the whole education of it that side of things, because it's a dragon that's there. Mm-hmm. So we can either let it, you know, destroy us, or we can tame it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think the only way to tame it is through education.
Yeah. 100%.
For sure. So where I was going with that, what do you think is the best way to introduce that kid, that teenager that's, mm-hmm. okay, finally, you have to have it.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
I think, again, you start with those conversations of, this is what's out there. This is everything. No BS. Like, there's bad people in the world. There could be bullying. How not to be a bully online. How to conduct yourself. Those good things that you talk to them about. And you slowly start to introduce it to them. This is a privilege to you. And on Fridays.
I like that word.
Oh, yeah. It's a privilege.
Because a lot of people think it's a need. Nope. I need my Instagram account. Nope.
That's a privilege. Yeah. Especially for a child or for a teenager. That's a privilege for you. And let's say, I think a good way to start it off is like, okay, if you do good this week in school, on Friday, you can get on Instagram. And you can have an hour or two on Instagram, or just throughout the day, you can have your phone and be on Instagram and, you know, work it into it that way. And if they want to be on it in the weekends, you know, you can talk about that too, but slowly during the week, you know, like, they have other priorities. They need to be a kid. They need to be present in school and do all those things and actually talk to their friends in real life. Mm-hmm. So slowly and surely, just introduce it to them.
I would see so many kids, you know, like, sitting next to each other and texting each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what?
Yes.
Oh my God. Just talk. Use your voice.
I know. Yeah, I know. Like, and it could be like embarrassing, but like, I remember being little with like my best friend, like talking about the Jonas Brothers, and it's like, you get over it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's important to have those conversations in real time, in real life, to really connect with people. There's that connection is so lost over the phone, and things are misinterpreted. Like, you need to have those like conversations and just talk to people.
Right. I feel like we've seen a decline in emotional and social intelligence.
Yes, I agree.
Because of all this.
Yeah.
And we're kind of not really holding on to the positives of social media, like you mm-hmm. you put so well. And we're letting like the bad parts of it overcome, you know, mm-hmm. overtake.
Yeah.
And we need to balance it out.
Yeah.
Because it really is a great tool.
It is. Oh, 100%. I mean, I wouldn't have my job and have this career, but I didn't really believe in it. And, you know, the power of social media and how it can help people, businesses, and all that stuff. But yeah, it has to all do with the users and the intention.
So starting with like the younger ones, like let's take the fifth graders that are already kind of aware. How do you start that conversation about social media?
I think, you know, all of their parents are probably going to be on social media at that point. And they know, at least the fifth graders that I spoke to, they know about Instagram. They know that their mom's on Instagram. And I think it's important to start telling them from a young age, like, this is a privilege for me. This is something I do on my spare time. This is what I like to do to connect with your family, to connect with friends, and having those positive affirmations and positive impacts of social media ingrained into them and showing them this is what I don't do on social media, just being a leader in that way to them and a role model. So when they are on social media, they're like, oh, okay, my mom doesn't do that. Why should I do that? You know?
Right.
So having that in their minds. And the fifth graders that I spoke to, one of the most craziest things that I heard from them, like, I was very focused on Stranger Danger and my approach. Yeah. And they were like, what about cyberbullies? And that I was like, oh my gosh, like, you guys are in fifth grade. What do you mean cyberbullies, you know? So showing them how to not be a cyberbully, I think, is very important. And also showing them the resources that they have if they are being cyberbullied, you know, be on their account, block those other accounts, and talk to an authority figure in school, talk to that cyberbully's mom, you know, having that be that the middleman between your kid and something that's potentially dangerous. So,
Yeah, because another issue now is, okay, they're not on social media, but they're playing these games like Roblox and what's the word, Minecraft, where people are talking to them. So you're thinking, okay, they're not on social media, everything's fine, but people have access to them.
Yeah. And that is even its own type of social media in a way.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be really mindful about those things too, and their time on that platform and who they're interacting with, and just talk to them and be like, is everything okay? You know?
Yeah.
Even that one phrase for kids, it really, like, they'll just start talking to you. Little kids, like, they're like, oh no, actually this guy told me this and this happened. Like, and that's how you can get in and really intervene and be there to stop anything from escalating.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary, but it's real. It's there. So we have to learn how to navigate it as best as we can.
Definitely.
So let's go back to your roots. So you were raised here in Miami.
Born and raised.
That's so exciting. How do you feel about the way Miami's changing?
Miami's definitely changing.
A lot.
It's definitely changing. I think we're at a really cool point in Miami. I know a lot of people are like, I hate it. And I can't take that stance because Miami was created and raised by so many different people that came to Miami, you know. And I think a lot of people think of Miami as like party, whatever, but Miami's backbone is resilience, it's determination, it's warm, welcoming people.
Yeah.
And I think we're at a point where for the new people coming into Miami, they need to remember those things and tap into the culture that we have here rather than try to change our culture.
That is so
it's shifting.
From everyone that I've talked to, there's a lot of excitement, but there's also a fear of the influx of people changing our, and one of the beautiful things, I think, like, one of the proudest things that I feel being, you know, a native here is the fact that the history of our city has been able to foster so many different groups of people. You know, we have Bahamians, Haitians, Cubans, Europeans, that the city literally, like, went through hell and back to be a home for these people.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, we've seen race riots, burning buildings, things falling apart.
Hurricanes. Yeah, we've seen it all.
And yet the city has been here for people. And you're right. Hopefully everyone can appreciate that and add to it. Yes. Not try to shift it around because
100%. Yeah.
I think it's what really makes it so special.
Yes. And at least for me, my boyfriend's from Wisconsin, right? And he is a Miami boy now, through and through. Yeah. He loves Miami.
We've adopted him.
We've adopted him. That's awesome. He is so Miami. But for him, at least, it was very important. My dad came over in Pedro Pan. Mm. So it was really important for my boyfriend to learn about that. We went to the Pedro Pan Museum and everything.
Oh, how beautiful. Yeah. For him to.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a really good experience for both of us to be able to see that and for him to learn more about our culture. And I think if you're coming from out of state or from another place, finding those cultural moments that really impact in Miami is massive, you know, and it really makes a difference when you're living and working with people in our community that have been here forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people forget. Mm-hmm. People forget everything that the city has been through. Mm-hmm. So with all these influx of people and businesses, mm-hmm. how do you think Miami will change?
I do think we're going through a shift. And I think the biggest thing for us is that Miami people are strong. Mm-hmm. Miami people are so strong. And I think if you're a business coming down to Miami and you don't really know the culture here, you're in for a shock.
I was going to say, you're in for a rude awakening.
Yep, yep. And I think before you make that move, you have to learn your community.
Yeah.
And you know, before you say, hey, this is how we do it here, like, and we're coming to Miami, we're doing the same exact thing, that's not going to fly. It's not going to work, because the people who are going to be working in your business, your community that you're going to be serving, is completely different. And if you are not emotionally aware of what they're going through or what they want from you, you cannot succeed here.
Exactly.
Miami people don't tolerate it.
Yeah. No, and we really are a true tapestry of mm-hmm. everyone.
Yes.
You know, your neighbor might be French mm-hmm. and your other neighbor might be Cuban.
Yeah.
And they're drinking cafecito together.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need to understand that it goes beyond that coffee cup. You know, there's so much that brings people together mm-hmm. here.
100%.
Which is, I think, is so unique. Mm-hmm. Because as much as we see diverse communities in other states, mm-hmm. They're very much diverse, but the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
they stick to their own. Mm-hmm. Here, we're all like, we're a true melting pot.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And I love it.
I know, me too. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's amazing.
I love it.
You learn so much. You learn something new every day. Yeah. It's awesome.
And there's just the culture's so rich, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Which is, it's nice that the rest of the country and the world is finally starting to notice what we've known for so long living here.
Yeah.
You know, we're more than flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stay inspired to do all the things that you do? Because you're handling people's livelihoods, because mm-hmm. their business is their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
That must be a lot of pressure.
It's pressure, but I think more so it's a gift, because if someone can trust you with something that they've worked so hard to build, that's a gift to you, and you treat it like something precious. So that really inspires me every day. Finding moments of just still and just quietness really helps me too, as well as like watching RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, that inspires me like every day. So finding that balance of like gratitude, I get to do this, like, this is a gift, I don't have to do this, I get to do this every day.
Yeah.
Mixed with like,
I love your mindset.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, especially after COVID, I think everyone shifted a lot.
Right.
And I think every day is just a blessing to be here, and you have to be grateful for every moment.
So, for sure. Well, I'm grateful that you're here.
Thank you.
I'm so, so excited that you're here. So what's your favorite book that you can recommend us? I always ask the guests to tell us what their favorite is.
That's so hard.
I know, right? It's like having to pick, I don't know, like your favorite kid or something.
I know. Oh my gosh. That's so hard. I love to read, right? But I read just like silly books, like really just like romance novels.
Oh, I like those too.
Oh my gosh, they're awesome.
I was actually, it's so funny that you say that, because I remember one of my friends in high school used to be obsessed with this author named Karen Robarts.
Okay.
And the other day I remembered, I'm like, because I read one of her romance novels as a teenager, which was just like a whole other story. I was like, what the heck is this? People write this stuff? I was in for a surprise. Yeah. She didn't tell me what it was. She was like, hey, read this. You will like it. And I'm here like, okay. I'm trying to remember the title. And I should have known by the title because, like, you know, it was like with Fabio in the front. Oh my God, stop. No, those are the best. It was, yeah. So I should have known. So the other day I looked her up. I'm like, because the stories were actually good. It was like an investigative, like a period piece, like in the 1800s, cool. And someone kidnapped her.
Oh, those are good.
I was all about it. Yeah. It was called Tiger's Eye. That's what it was. Telling you. It was, okay, I don't know if I should. People are going to start judging me.
I'm going to Google it.
Whatever. It's fine. Safe space. Melissa, if you're out there somewhere, this is your fault. So I look up the author and she's like nowhere to be found. I'm like, no. How did you stop writing these crazy good love stories?
Yeah.
Because like, they were good. It wasn't stories. Like Grey's, what is it, 50 Shades?
50 Shades of
no,
Grey.
No, that was not. The writing was not good.
Yeah.
I think the topic is interesting.
Yeah,
like, how
definitely.
Do you, you know, like, come to terms with things like that?
Yeah.
And what
so
are your boundaries
too.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
So I thought the idea was good, but the execution was not good. So this, she wasn't actually, like, a great writer.
A good
the
writer.
Stories were awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, I totally hijacked your answer. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's that's just totally fine. That's totally fine.
I was trying to find this woman and I can't find her.
No, that's happened. The worst. But like silly like little books like that, just to like disconnect.
Yes.
Like, I cannot be at night like just seriously focusing on something. Like
right.
I just want something silly.
Yeah.
You know? Like give me something silly.
To have
something
fun.
To just like entertain my brain for 30
right.
minutes, you
yeah.
know? So yeah, Twilight. That's my go-to.
I like Twilight. Twilight's I don't care go-to. What people say.
Me neither.
I like
Team
Twilight.
Edward. I'm always going to be
too.
Team Edward. And now that he's Batman.
Did you see that?
Oh my gosh. I love him. He's awesome.
Oh my God.
He's awesome.
So we watched it twice.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Wait.
Yeah. Because, well, the first time I didn't calculate how long the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to leave with like 30 minutes at the end. Oh. Yeah. And we were like, oh, we can't. It's so bad. So then we went back for the second time. It's so good.
It's really good.
It's such
I'm
a good
I'm excited
movie.
For the series. It's
Me
gonna
too.
Be really cool.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was great because the other Batman, I was very upset. I haven't watched it and I refuse. I'm not going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman for me is like, you know, he has a special
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful. He
yeah.
was so good.
I loved
such
it.
A good Batman.
He was awesome. And like for me, my favorite ones are, like, the ones from the 90s, and it's, like, the
yeah.
campy Batman.
Yes.
Like, I love that. So I was like, okay, this is not going to be that. It's going to be very different. And I actually really liked it. So
it was so
it was good.
Good.
It was good.
It was so good. Yeah, yeah. I like the 90s Batman. And obviously, oh, Jesus, what's his name?
The
Christian Bale.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Those
yeah.
are the stories, the way they dive into the psychology of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful.
Awesome.
So this one definitely like.
Yeah. I'm ready for like the other two already. And I'm not like.
I can't wait.
Superhero girl.
No, I don't watch any of those Marvel
I can't
movies.
Keep up with it.
To
I
me,
can't.
They're annoying. I know I'm like a minority in this and I'm sorry. If you enjoy them, by all means, go. To me, it's like the same thing over and over. Like every time my husband starts to watch one, I do the annoying comment of like, so now something's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Someone's going to die. There's going to be music, an action sequence. Another person's going to die. And the movie's going to end.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
no,
like,
yeah.
this is it.
And there's like 37 movies. Like I wish I would have gotten into it at the beginning, but it's too late for me now.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
No.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for the Batman.
Yeah.
And Twilight is a good book.
Oh.
The series, I should say.
It's
like
really
a series.
Good. Yeah. That's like my comfort. Like, you know, like,
might
not be as good now, like in 2022, but you just go back to it because it's just so comforting. You
it
know?
Is.
And so, like, that's really
It's
silly.
A fun story.
It's a bunch of like werewolves and teenagers and vampires. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's as silly as it gets, you know?
I love it.
Yeah. Me too.
I love it. And I loved, so when that came out, I was still in the classroom as a teacher. And I loved how many kids that would refuse to read all of a sudden started picking up these huge books because the books are
like
big.
This big, yeah.
And they were like devouring these books. It was it was amazing. It was such a treat to watch. And the fact that now new generations are discovering it and getting excited about reading.
Yeah.
I
It's awesome.
I understand if you don't like it, but it's good. Did a lot.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
That's how exactly. I feel. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely have Twilight linked below so yes. people can revisit or get acquainted with it if they don't know.
So good. And I feel like so silly saying that that's like my go-to book, but.
No, there's I really understand. Here, but I like them too. I don't have them here. They're at home, actually. But I have them. I have them. I used to have a big poster too in the classroom.
I used to have a cutout in my room. My dad got it for me. And I was like, it's so fast. Oh my God. Yeah. No, serious. Serious Twihard. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a poster of Twilight with like a poster of the Joker next to it.
Oh my gosh. And everyone's like, okay.
No, like everyone loved it. The kids loved walking into the classroom and like trying to figure out why it had such like eclectic posters. Because then Shakespeare would be in between both of them. And I'm you guys. This is my personality in posters.
This is everything that you need to know.
Yeah, yes. This is as much as you need to know about who I am as a person.
I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was fun times. But how can, as we close off, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Instagram?
On my Instagram, yeah.
Perfect.
On my Instagram, send me a DM. Redoing the website should be live by the end of this week. So you can reach out to me there too. But Instagram, yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So we'll have, as usual, everything linked down below. And feel free to reach out to Sophia. She's, as you've seen or heard, a wealth of information.
Thank you.
And again, the way you put everything, it's just so approachable and digestible. And
that's my goal.
I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. And if anyone has any questions, I always say on my Instagram stories, just send me a DM. Like, that's the whole point of my page, is to help people out. So if you need that one-on-one, like, hey, I need a quick question answered, I'm there.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
This is awesome. This is so much fun.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you had a good time. And to everyone listening or watching or both, thank you so much for being here. We so appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. We couldn't ask for a better audience. Mm-hmm. I feel like as we grow, our audience is really becoming bigger and engaging with us. And that's awesome. I love it. So thank you for listening and supporting.
Thank you.